Hello everyone, welcome or welcome back to another episode of the Ticker Podcast by IR Magazine. I'm your host, Noemi Di Stefano. As many companies come off the back of their full year results and they get ready to meet with current and potentially new investors, in this episode we talk about corporate access. Joining us later on the show, we have Willem Franser, Director of Investor Relations at Belgium-listed technology company Barco, to talk about a recent investor event the company attended in Paris with the Belgian IR Association. Franser talks about the differences between attending an investor day organized by the country's IR Association versus one the company would plan on its own, highlights the challenges his company may typically face when meeting with investors in person and how Barco gets around those, and also speaks about the company's roadshow plans for 2024. But first, I'm joined by IR Magazine editor Laurie Havelock to talk about broader corporate access trends, popular destinations, in-person meetings, and more. Hi, Laurie. Thanks for joining me.
Hey, Noemi. Good to be here.
This is the first episode we do together since you came back. That's really exciting.
This is true. Yeah, I've managed to, you know, I've managed to not appear so far, but it's nice to be back. For any listeners who have been around long enough, they may have heard my voice in the very first episode. So no, it's been a while.
Yeah, I'm sure many people know you more than me. So yeah, anyway, so I thought it would be a good time to take a look at some of the findings from IR Magazine's latest Global Roadshow report to give our listeners a little bit of an overview about the preferences in terms of roadshow destinations, depending also on the company size and, you know, anything that you might find interesting. So maybe let's start from popular roadshow destinations. What are some of the highlights on that front?
Absolutely. Well, it's perhaps not surprising that the top cities in our ranking of, you know, those that are most often visited for roadshows remain New York, London, and Boston. There is a reemergence as Paris as a top destination. I say reemergence. It's been popular since in 2022's research, rather. But during the pandemic and before the pandemic, dropped out of the top contention for IR teams who are planning roadshows. These numbers are based on a survey of IR professionals, and these numbers are from the second and third quarters of 2023. Obviously, New York, Boston, London have been ranking as, you know, the top three cities for in-person roadshows since way before the pandemic. They're, you know, obviously where the bulk of particularly Western companies' investors are based. But it should be noted that despite these being the most visited cities, there has been a significant decrease in the number of roadshows held in each one of these. So I think since 2019, the number of roadshows held in Boston has fallen by around 60%, which is interesting. And there are a couple more cities that are emerging as favourites, which I'm sure we'll talk about in a second.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, so around the things you've mentioned so far, I think that is really interesting. And another thing that the report highlights in this regard is like how some of these destinations tend to be preferred by small caps or mid caps or large caps and vice versa. So in this regard, I just wanted to point our listeners to an article that we recently published where we interviewed Adam Borgatti. He is the Senior Vice President of Corporate Development and IR at a Canadian small cap company called Aecon. And he, for example, highlighted a trend of increased success, we can say, in attracting small cap value-focused investors in cities like Los Angeles and Chicago, right? And he will attribute this shift in investors' success to the rise of independent funds and the expansion of investment centers beyond the traditional hubs that you have mentioned, like New York, for example. But, you know, what he says is a little bit different from the findings of our report. I mean, you can, if you look at the report, some of the data will just point out that smaller firms travel significantly less than larger peers. And for example, only 5% of our respondents will say they visit cities like LA. But anyways, I mean, it's really interesting to get different views. And if you are interested in finding out more about this, you can find the piece on our website. And that piece includes also an interview with Marcin Droba, who is the head of IR at a chatbot company called Text, which will give a European perspective.
I just wanted to actually say in reply to what you were saying about those interviews with smaller cap firms, obviously they've got to be a lot more focused in where they can go when they do travel. We'll talk a little bit about the, you know, the in-person and virtual split in a moment. But yeah, I think, you know, those top three destinations are always going to be possible. And perhaps there are small cap teams who are concentrating their efforts on those cities. But where, as you preluded, if we look elsewhere in the top 20 cities, there's a bit of movement and some other centres emerging as popular destinations. So
back to destinations. So newcomers, who are those?
Frankfurt was the place that stuck out this year. It's somewhere anecdotally we hear is popular for European IR teams, or rather teams who are going around Europe looking for capital. It's up to fifth spot in this year's rankings behind those, you know, popular destinations, New York, London and Boston and Paris. That's four spots higher for Frankfurt than it was last year. It's also the fourth most frequented city by European companies. As I said, I think some 44% of respondents have travelled to Frankfurt over the past year, compared, that's about double the level in 2022. And I wonder if, yeah, like just like Adam was saying, if there's a bit of an emergence of, you know, capital that's maybe ready to be deployed in more specific areas, and teams are finding it a bit more valuable to visit Frankfurt. There have been a few more movements throughout the top 20. This is perhaps unsurprising that there's been a return for Hong Kong, Amsterdam, Sydney and Tokyo. Had a notable absence in 2022 figures, and prior to that, presumably, of course, because COVID restrictions are a little bit more stringent there for a little longer than they were in the US and Europe. But Hong Kong has taken over Beijing as the second most visited city by Asian firms this year, which is interesting, really emerging as a pool of investment there. We heard that frequently at our forum over in Hong Kong, and lots of excitement from the local companies that there is a lot more liquid capital, shall we say. It's been a region that's been a bit locked up in previous years. Interestingly, Tokyo, I say interestingly because I'm hoping that we can go on a trip over there with IR Magazine at some point, that's made it into the top five of the most popular destinations for Asian companies. 3 in 10 firms who we polled said they'd went to the capital of Japan in 2023. And then away from that, I'm away from the Asian piece, there's also a bit of a drop for cities around the rest of the world. Oslo, Milan, Sao Paulo, Munich and Dallas have all become less popular, all have dropped out of that top 20. Dallas is a really interesting one because I think, you know, IR teams we spoke to 10 years ago, that was a dead cert. You know, you'd see your New York and your Boston investors, you might pop over to Chicago, you might go up to Toronto, but Dallas was always up there, and that's just completely dropped out this time.
That's really, really interesting. Thank you for this summary. Do we have a winning city among all of those that everyone across the world, that all market caps would prefer?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting that even in a post-Brexit world, London is by far and away the most popular option, right? That is something that almost the majority is 36% of respondents from all regions, that's North America, Europe and Asia, selected as their most visited city. So unsurprising then that comes in top spot. And I think, you know, in terms of bang for your buck, that's going to rank highest for IROs through into this year still.
Yeah. Okay, now I wanted to touch on some other stats, I mean, regarding the return to in-person events, which I think many will be happy to hear that are slowly getting back to normal. I say slowly because, I mean, the report finds out 57% of companies have held an in-person roadshow in those two quarters of 2023, which is a slight increase to 2022, but is still way below the 93% that we had recorded before COVID. So when we look at in-person events, obviously, we also ask questions around average number of days spent on the road, average number of brokers used in in-person roadshows, and also senior management involvement. And I wanted to look a little bit about this data, the results of the survey in this specific area, so senior management involvement. So what are the findings in that space?
Yeah, it's interesting actually that as in-person roadshows have kind of become more part of an IRO's toolkit post-pandemic, they are managing to get better attendance from the C-suites. I think we had around 27% of in-person roadshows held in the, you know, the period we're looking at, which is Q3 22 to Q3 23, had a CEO in attendance, and 26% had the CFO taking part. And that means, I think, if we put those together, that one in five in-person roadshows had both a CFO and a CEO participating. And that's not something we collected data on pre-pandemic, so it's hard to compare. But anecdotally, that does seem higher. It does seem that IR teams are using roadshows as a kind of slightly higher value engagement opportunity or interaction opportunity with their investors and other key leaders. Of course, we looked at other kind of divisional management, which is actually kind of slightly decreased in popularity. So perhaps, you know, you're more likely to get someone from the C-suite on the road. That involvement is lower in North America for North American issuers, and it's which is interesting. And in fact, it's worst of all in Asia, where that's the where you get by far the highest IR only led roadshow effort, which is, I think, a kind of nuance in how IR teams function in that part of the world versus in, you know, Europe and North America. And in terms of market cap, it's perhaps unsurprising that small cap teams more often than not will do a roadshow completely alone 40% of the time. So not quite more often than not, but you know, that's predominantly the finding there. And large cap companies find it a bit easier to get that buy-in. But yeah, I think in summary, it does seem like in-person events are held in slightly higher regard by senior management, which is great news. You know, it must be good news for IROs who have this opportunity to really get time between management and investors.
Definitely. And I mean, the point about Asia, that 43% of companies have an IR only event is really, really interesting. Maybe we should find out more if that is still the case this year. No, but on the IR only point, I just think maybe I just wanted to point our listeners to a conversation we had. Actually wanted to play a clip of that. We spoke to Lorna Davey of Swiss IR Club last year. We asked her, basically, if you are planning an IR only meeting, how do you pick your destinations? And this is what she had to say.
So in terms of how you choose your destinations as an IR only officer, you're always looking for new potential investors. So that's an ongoing process in trying to find where the pockets of money are. What COVID enabled was allowing access to certain areas in the US, perhaps say in the Midwest, that you couldn't spend a full day traveling to, or perhaps certain areas, maybe people have moved from the UK elsewhere to other European destinations that you wouldn't have typically traveled to. So there's no specific hubs that have popped up, but what it did allow is it provided access to people who wouldn't have necessarily had that opportunity in a physical setting because the company just didn't have the time, resources to travel to those destinations. So what hybrid and the virtual world has allowed you to do is to, you have to then plan which cities you go to with your management and then trying to see if you can add on a separate portion of that for an IR only meeting. So if you went to London with your C-suite, and then you did IR only meetings, say, in Scotland and Dublin. So trying to be efficient that you're continuing the process, bearing in mind what I referred to before is making sure you know which days of the week investors will be in their workplace so that you can be efficient with your time. What virtual has allowed to do is to supplement those engagements. So perhaps you spend one trip a year to the West Coast, but the other engagements throughout the year you can supplement as a virtual engagement, which I think pre-pandemic would not have been something to consider. And then the other thing for consideration is when you're at large broker conferences, is thinking about ways of perhaps separating the meetings that you will host, and some of them keeping them with your C-suite, and then perhaps doing additional meetings yourself for investor relations with new investors that you're not familiar with. In that situation, I would recommend keeping those engagements to two-on-ones or three-on-ones, just because the smaller the meeting, it allows you to get to know those individuals easier, and then you can perhaps follow up with them again with a hybrid meeting, you know, follow the following quarter or at another time throughout the year.
And that was Lorna Davies speaking to IR Magazine last year. You can find the full video where she answers more questions in terms of corporate access trends on our website, irmagazine.com. Just head over to the IRTV tab.
Yeah, it's a really great interview, actually, with Lorna. And she's obviously someone who's seen, you know, a lot of different IR situations. And I think that, you know, exactly to the point she just made about supplementing your engagements with virtual ones means that it's maybe not, you know, slightly contradictory to what we were saying earlier, it's maybe not crucial that you get C-suite on every single in-person interaction, because you know, you might have a good chance to have a virtual engagement later on. But I think it is going to allow our teams to be much more strategic in how they deploy their C-suite's time. And yeah, I'm really interested to see how it evolves from here. We'll of course be back with more data on this topic in the autumn, so watch out for this space.
Definitely. Thank you, Laurie. Thank you for joining me today.
Thanks, Naomi.
For our listeners, if you want to find out more about the Global Roadshow report, head over to irmagazine.com. Time now for a short break, but stay with us, as coming up next we have William Franzo from Barco.
IR Magazine is gearing up to host two events in Canada on April 4th. During the day, the IR Magazine Forum Canada will provide IR professionals with actionable insights to enhance their IR programs. Leading IROs will share their expertise on various topics, including managing geopolitical risks, how IR teams are using AI tools, the intricacies of engaging with retail investors, and much more. Then, in the evening, the IR Magazine Awards Canada will celebrate the achievements of individuals and companies at the forefront of IR practices in the country. For further details on the IR Magazine Forum and Awards in Canada, and to secure your spot, visit irmagazine.com/events.
Hi, so we've got Willem Franzou, Director of IR at Barco, a Belgian listed company, here today with us talking about corporate access and an investor event that you took part in with the Belgian IR Association in December. Thank you very much for joining us on the Ticker podcast.
Thanks for having me.
And so I wondered if you could tell me a little bit about this event. I know that it's something that the Belgian IR Association has held in previous years. You're a year into the role. I mean, what were your expectations going on this kind of joint sort of group event to Paris to meet investors, and how did you find that event?
Well, we do more events like this, of course, but this is a special one in the sense that these are all Belgian companies that line up. There's about 15 to 20 companies there. And it means that you get in an investor community like Paris in this case, you get a very good bunch of investors that are particularly interested in that kind of range of companies. So you have a good lineup of investors. And what's also special about this event is, of course, that we are there with all Belgian companies. We know each other actually quite well. We meet each other at many other conferences. But this one particularly brings us all together and has a very nice atmosphere, I have to say.
That's really nice, because I wanted to ask as well what the Belgian IR community is like. And so it's kind of, so it's a day trip to Paris in a way. I mean, you all know each other. That's quite nice. Is it quite a small community? I know that I spoke with Wim Alicart, the chairman of Bell IR, and he mentioned that the Belgian IR community is generally small and mid caps, and it's I imagine it's quite a sort of smaller, more close-knit community.
Yeah, that's true. And we also have several events with BELIR, the Association of Belgian Investor Relations, throughout the year. And so we meet each other regularly. And actually, it's very nice to share ideas, to share challenges and go take some training together and so on. So it's a fairly close community. That's correct. And yeah, this event in Paris, we all meet and yeah, we're there with the same goal. So, it's one of the nicer events throughout the year in that respect, that it has a true Belgian atmosphere.
And can you talk us a bit through the logistics, I suppose, of how that event works? I mean, how many investors did you see on the day? Also, how do you assess whether or not that's something that was beneficial to Barco as a company?
Well, you sign up for the event quite long ahead. So typically that's 3 months before the event starts. And then, of course, BELIR works together with a broker. In this case, this was De Groof Peterkam. They work together to create a lineup of investors. And in our case, we cannot complain. We are indeed a mid-cap company from the Belgian Stock Exchange, but especially in Paris, we have a good investor base. So, yeah, we had a very full agenda, 8 o'clock in the morning until 5-6 o'clock in the afternoon. So it was, it's a tiring day, but very efficient because, yeah, you meet all your major investors, in a long line. And what's also nice about these, conferences is that often you have a mix of investors that know you very well and you meet very often. Often they are also shareholders in combination with some new faces. And that's always interesting that some people make they get introduced to you by the broker and they meet you. And then, of course, that can be a first discovery meeting with later follow-up meetings on later occasions.
And how did that day differ from what you would typically organize yourselves?
Yeah, it's a conference, which anyway is in the hands, the organization is in the hands of the broker. It has the advantage that in a local investor community of Paris, you can bring them all together on one day. At Barco, we also do a lot of what we call reverse roadshows. And then we also sometimes ask the help of a broker, but then we ask them to bring investors to our company. And we're lucky in the sense that we have a very nice experience center and we are in electronics products and we have nice demos to show and it makes it worthwhile to come over to our headquarters in Kortrijk, Belgium. And that's also very successful. But it's a different setup because then you would invite a small group of 4 or 5 investors and combine it with a lunch and meeting the management and then a tour. So you spend more time. While at these conferences, these are strictly 45-minute, 50-minute slots, and that's it. And so it's almost like speed dating in a way. You meet one after the other, and at the end of the day, you have a hard time to think who was the first one I saw today. So it's a long lineup, but it's very efficient.
And when you do reverse roadshows, when you think about meetings that you organise either yourselves or through a broker, what are the kind of particular challenges that you face given your market cap, given your market and what Barco does?
Well, in our case, we cannot complain in all honesty about the interest we get. So when we attend conferences, we typically have a good agenda. I think my challenge is often to... get a lot of questions. Investors are often well prepared, I have to say that. They often come with questions and follow-up questions from the last time we met. And sometimes 45 minutes is just not enough. And for me, that's the biggest challenge. We have a lot of information to tell. We are active in many different markets. And to tell the whole story in 45 minutes and update on the whole story in 45 minutes is sometimes a challenge.
Yep. Do you have any particular ways that you address that? Do you have particular information packs that you send to investors afterwards or any ways to get around that?
Well, typically, indeed, we're asked to prepare a presentation up front of the event. And this is then sent out to the participating investors up front. We rarely use that presentation actually during the meeting. During the meeting, I would say 90% of the cases, it's Q&A. Investors come in, they have a list of questions prepared, often specific topics they want to discuss. And that's what the talk is about. Only very rarely you meet people at conferences that they really don't know what your company does. They just are triggered in some way and they want to get to know you. In that case, you would pull up the presentation, but that's a rare occasion.
What are some of the typical questions that you're getting from investors at the moment? And how do you expect those to change, I suppose, going kind of throughout 2024?
Well, it depends really on the profile of the investors, but many investors are there to get more color on your official corporate communication. And it means that they have read it, they have some follow-up questions on it, but often they are, of course, curious about how trading is going in between quarters and which may give them some hint or some color of what's coming next. And that's, of course, tricky. Because we're not supposed to speak about what the current trading is about, but okay, there is within boundaries you can of course give some extra color on how specific market segments are behaving. But that's what they're there. They investors, they take the effort to come to see you and they literally want to look management in the eyes. That's often one of the objectives for these investors to have this personal connection. And I joined the industry or this role about 1 year ago, and it's from the beginning for me it was quite remarkable how personal this business still is. You would expect investors dialing in, doing Teams calls, but they want to meet you, they want to see you physically, and that's. That's quite amazing in these days of hybrid meetings. And I mean, Barco, we even sell hybrid meeting solutions, but we still see that a physical meeting is quite important. It's a level of trust you need to build with investors, and you can do that by meeting them regularly at various occasions, and these conferences are a good opportunity.
How do you make decisions around which meeting might be hybrid, which investor you'll see face to face, when something is more appropriate to be virtual?
Well, we have the impression that the brokers are all already do some filtering. If it's somebody who does not know us at all, they will very rarely invite them or in a conference, or they will have spoken to this investor before and have introduced Barco before. But for me, the challenge is a bit, management time is limited. When I go to a conference with management, and this was also the case, I was there with the CEO 2 weeks ago in Paris. It's you want to use that time as useful as possible. And if it's then a discovery meeting, as we call it, then that's something we want to avoid. That's something I could probably take offline myself with this investor, then to take them really into an introduction to Barco, and then have managing meeting them like on a later occasion when they are already a bit more familiar with the case.
And then finally, I was wondering if you can talk us through some of your roadshow plans for 2024.
Yeah, well, this is about the time of the year when we are thinking about roadshow planning. And typically, of course, there is a couple of conferences that are returning every year. And we know about which week they will take place. We sometimes not always have the exact date, but we know that in this week in March or that week in September, we can expect certain events. So these are like the cornerstones of the calendar. But on top, there is at least twice a year, we do big roadshows after the full year results and the half year results. And then we travel to London and Paris and Brussels to meet the majority of our investment base. And then on top, I like to go to what I call tier two cities, smaller cities in between. And then we really speak to brokers and we try to give them, cut the pie in pieces and give them all a piece, let's say. And then we're talking cities like Milan, Edinburgh, even Zurich, Geneva. These are what I call tier two cities. We have a couple of important investors, but it's smaller. You will not fill an entire agenda there. And then I travel there often alone, without management, together with the broker. And that's that's a nice addition to the calendar. And then typically, when you have met a couple of these investors, one or two times, you tend to then see them back at conferences as well. So once they know the name and they're triggered, they want to see you on a regular basis.
Okay, thank you. That was very, very interesting. So Willem, thank you very much for joining us on this episode of the Ticker podcast.
My pleasure. Thank you.
IR Magazine invites you to download our latest IR playbook, Growing and Engaging Your Online Investor Audience. Sponsored by Reef by Totem, this playbook delves into the essential strategies and practices necessary to establish a robust online presence that resonates with both current and prospective investors. Explore how IR teams are effectively managing their websites, crafting content aligned with existing disclosures, and utilizing key metrics to evaluate their approach. Gain valuable insights from leading IROs and investors, highlighting the best practices that help companies stand out from the crowd in today's competitive marketplace. To download the report, head over to iamagazine.com.
You've been listening to the latest episode of the Ticker Podcast, brought to you by IR Magazine. For our listeners, if you enjoyed the show, make sure you like and subscribe, leave a review on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from. Until next time, thanks for listening.